Our scripture reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking forward and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Thank you, Ronnie, for reading those verses this morning. That'll be the basis for our lesson. We're glad you're here and encourage you to follow along as we look at verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3 concerning the way that we ought to be. I preached a lesson along this line a time or two in the last 10, 11 years here at Beulah, but really this past week in talking to certain people and various people about different things, it's easy to understand sometimes why people would think that things ought to be one way when there's supposed to be another. And it's easy for me to think sometimes that this is the way things ought to be when in reality they're not that way. And I need to learn to deal with them in the way that they really are. And so God gives us choices in this life. There are things that he wants us to do. There are ways in life that he wants us to engage in. There are things that he wants us to do. There are ways that he points out in his word that we ought to be as those ways or like those things. Or we ought to be such and such. And there's some things we'll look at this morning in this. And have you ever been in a situation in life and something happens and you're asked to do something and you think, well, it just things ought not to be this way. And you question, why is it like this? And so from the human nature, when God tells us we ought to be one way, sometimes in our attitude is that from the human standpoint, we may question, should it be that way? And sometimes it may be hard for us to understand, but if we will have the attitude that God is right, God knows what is best for us, then I need to understand how it ought to be, and then move on and make it be as God would have it to be in my life, if possible. Let's look at a few of these things in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. He says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness? There's a reason that we ought to be certain ways in this life, and that is that the end is going to come. The end of life is going to come. Death is going to come to everyone. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So two things are sure, death and judgment. Then the third thing is sure is eternity, either in heaven or hell. And so God instructs us the way we ought to be so that when death comes and the judgment comes, that we will hear the thing that we want to hear, and that is, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter the joys of the Lord. So if I want to do that, I ought to be as God would have me to be. The Bible has a lot to say about what we ought to be and what we ought not to be. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, be holy also in all your behavior. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 15 and 16, ye shall be holy as I am holy. Matthew 5 verses 13 through 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So one thing that he tells us here in 2 Peter chapter 3 is that we ought to be living in holy conduct and godliness. When you think about that in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So I ought to be looking to God's word to find out what kind of conduct I need to have in my life. God's word is holy. God is holy. And so if we look into His Word and receive the instructions He gives, our conduct can be holy. That is, it can be as God would want us to be in the fashion that God wants us to live if we follow His command. So my conduct ought to be holy and also with godliness. And so you think about God is holy. He is the Holy One. And things that come from God are of a godly nature. And so if we mold ourselves in following God and exercise the things He asks us to do, that is putting God's plan into work, which turns out to be godliness in our life, being like God in our actions, in our thoughts, in the things we do. So that's one thing I ought to do, and everyone ought to do, is that in all holy behavior and godliness, we need to present our lives. So how is my conduct? How is your conduct in our life? Are we behaving ourselves as God would have us to behave? Or is our conduct according to the world? We know there's two choices we have. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. We can choose the broad and way, the wide gate that leadeth to destruction, or we can choose the narrow way that leadeth into life. So there's two avenues of conduct. We can either choose godliness or worldliness. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we have two choices. Either conduct ourselves in all godliness and holiness, or conduct ourselves in worldliness and disobedience. And so God says we ought to behave ourselves in that way, in all holy conduct and godliness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 again. And we see there that we ought to be responsible with our life as we think about the manner of person we ought to be. So you look around in life and there's all manner of people. And that is because people think differently. And that is because people talk differently. And that is because people behave themselves differently. So the choice is ours. We can choose to be like the world or like God. We can choose to have holy conduct and godliness, or we can choose to follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world are the things that we ought not to choose, as we mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we're warned about following the ways of the world, conducting ourselves like the world, and concentrating on things of the world. That kind of conduct needs to be put away from us. He says to love not the world, neither the things of the world. And why does He tell us that? Because the world and the lust thereof is passing away. And so all holy conduct and godliness is what we need to be concentrating on. Let's look at the second point this morning. Move out of 2 Peter over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27. Here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27, we see that Jesus points out that we ought to be responsible with our talents. There in verse 27, He says, "Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest." Jesus gives there in Matthew 27 the parable of the talents, and how that different ones, I meant Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27. I said Matthew 27. I apologize. Matthew chapter 25 and verse, beginning in verse 14, He gives the parable of the talents, and He goes all the way down through verse 30. But He gives the parable of the talents, and He pointed out that He gave out talents to different ones. And in verse 15, to one He gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately He went on a journey. Then He had received, though the one that had received five talents went and traded with him and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And a long time later, the Lord came back to those servants and settled accounts with him. So he that had received five talents, he came and brought five other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Then the woman of the two came, and the same thing. He had gained two more. And he says, well done. Then the one that had received one, he came, and the Lord called him in, and he said, Lord, I know you're a hard man. Verse 24, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So we get from this the fact that God instills within us certain abilities. As Christians, as children of God, we can desire the sincere miracle word and grow thereby, so we can increase our abilities. We can increase our talents. We can increase our usefulness in the kingdom of God while we're on this earth. And so we ought to use our talents and use them so that we will be profitable in doing something for the Lord in the right way, rather than just sitting back and not trying to do what's right in the sight of God. You ought, he says, to have done this. So are we using our talents? Are we using the talents that God has given us? We ought to be, because if we're not, there may come a day of reckoning when we wish that we would have used our talents. Look to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and we see that, again, Jesus teaches that we ought to, about prayer, he says you ought to always pray and not lose heart. So prayer should be a part of our life, and I'm sure it's a part of your life on a regular basis. But in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he spoke a parable to them and said, men ought to pray and not lose heart. And he goes on and gives some examples about this, about praying and not losing heart, not giving up, continuing on to pray, continuing to be willing to ask over and over and beseech the Lord in prayer. And so we should never lose heart when it comes to prayer, because we ought to always pray believing. We ought to always pray in faith. We ought to always pray to God, trusting in Him. We ought to always pray to God in Jesus' name. We ought to always pray to God, understanding that we're taking it to Him and we're leaving it there. Now, in our prayers, there are some things that we may have a part in. We may pray and ask God to help us to have a means by which we can provide for our family. On my shoulders is laid the responsibility of going out and making an honest living to earn wages to be able to provide for my family food, clothing, and shelter. God may provide the means for me to have it, but if I'm so lazy I won't do it, then I may say, as some disbelievers, that, well, God doesn't answer prayer because He didn't give me what I asked for. But some things we may ask for is we trust in God and we do what He gives us the ability to do to make that happen. Because He provides the sunshine, He provides the rain, the seed is there and the soil is there, the opportunity for labor is there. So sometimes we pray and we do these things and we continue in it, but we do our part. Sometimes we pray to God and things are out of our control. And when we pray to God for certain things that we have no control over, then what we do, we take our burden to the Lord and we leave it there. And we keep praying and we trust in Him, knowing that all will work out well with the Lord eventually, one way or the other. It may not be as we ask, but it will be as the Lord will. So we ought to always pray and not lose heart. We should not lose heart. The man that prays for the money to provide for his family, he may have to start out with a lower paying job, and he may have to start out with a car that's not as good as someone else's to be able to get to that job. He may have to work harder at that job than someone else is having to work at theirs for a while. But we ought to always pray and not give out or give up and do what we can. But then we ask God for things that is out of our control. We ought not to give up either, we ought always to pray and not lose heart in our prayers to God. When we pray for the sick, when we pray for the needy, when we pray for things that may be out of our control, but we trust in God that things will be that way, then we need to pray and not lose heart. Well, in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, if you'll turn over there, let's look at something else the Hebrew writer tells us that we ought to do. He tells us there in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, that we ought to grow and become teachers of God's Word. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. If we look over 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we see there that Paul said, the things which you have heard from me by many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So as a child of God, when we're baptized into Christ, we know our sins are forgiven. Our desire should be to know the sincere milk of the Word and grow thereby. Our desire should be that our faith would grow, that our faithfulness would be intact, that we would continue to grow in Christ and do better. And our desire should be then that we could become teachers of the Word. We may not all be public teachers of the Word, but we can teach our husband or our wife. We can teach our children. We may teach our neighbor. We may teach a co-worker. We may teach someone that's in the community. We may teach others, because we ought to be teachers. Now, we're teaching, and you're teaching, and I'm teaching in some way, whether we acknowledge it or not. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 that we mentioned this morning, we're always teaching by example. Now, the question is, are we teaching in a good way or a bad way? Because our manner of life, our words, our actions, our treatment of others, it's either good or it's not good. So we need to be the good example. He talks about in Matthew chapter 5. So we can teach by example. We can teach the Word of God verbal. And so there's a time when we ought to become teachers. We ought to be able to teach our children and teach others. And even at a point, sometimes there are those who will teach publicly. And not everyone has to do that. But we can teach in some way, in some form, at some time in life, we can learn to be teachers privately and perhaps even publicly. So over time, what we ought to become is teachers of the Word by being a good example and teaching others also verbally the Word of God. Well, let's look to James chapter 5, verses 3, James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. And we see again, there's something else that James says we ought to do. He says that we ought to be careful about what we say. We've talked about this before, thinking before we speak. Thinking about what we're going to say and then saying it in a timely manner. Here in James chapter 3 and verse 10, James says, out of the mouth proceed blessings and curses. My brethren, he says, these things ought not to be. How is it that we ought to speak? We ought to speak good things. So if we're going to speak good things and speak blessings, our heart has to be right before we can do that. Our thoughts has to be right before we can do that. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Look with me to Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. And here we see Jesus says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Then he goes on to say, and an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil things. And he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that man may speak, they shall give an account of it in the last day. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And so, how are we speaking? Are we speaking as we ought to speak? And are we teaching as we ought to teach? Turn with me now to Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, we see another example of something that we ought to be doing in our life, and that is we ought to be helping other people on a regular basis. Romans 15 and verse 1, Paul wrote, he said, Now we who are strong ought not now we are strong, ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let's read that again. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. That means we ought to be willing to help other people. We can help other people in many ways. We can encourage them. We can be a good example to them. We can help them when they're having problems in their life. Over in John 3, verse 16, we know that God helped us through His Son and His Son's sacrifice, in that He laid down His life for us. We know that we ought to help other people because in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians like you and I. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider your own self, lest you also be tempted." And so we can help others. In Galatians chapter 6, going through verse 10, talks about that we ought to do good to others. So here in Romans 15 and verse 1, we see that we ought to help others. And we can help them by being willing to offer a kind word, offer up encouragement, help those that are in error to learn the truth, bring those to Christ that have not obeyed the gospel, to help others that are struggling in any way. We ought to be helping others because God expects us to as His children. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11 over in the latter part of our Bibles. And there we see that we find another ought to. And that is we ought to love one another. 1 John 4 verse 11. "Beloved, if God also loved us, we also ought to love one another." Loving one another is important. Loving one another is a requirement. Treating our neighbor correctly and treating our neighbor right is important. Treating our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ the right way is important. Loving one another and treating each other as we should is very important when it comes to the husband and wife relationship, the parent-children relationship, a relationship with our neighbors, and a relationship with one another in the church. If you will, look over to the book of Matthew chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. He says, "The second commandment is like unto this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Well, loving one another includes those around us. Not just our husband and wife and family, but our neighbors that we come in contact with. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. So I ought to be loving other people and showing the right attitude toward others and bestowing love toward them. One other point is that we find in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, and that is that Jesus said, "But these are the things you ought to have done without neglecting the others." He's simply saying we ought to do the commands of God because these people had neglected to obey God's commands according to the law. We need to obey God's instructions according to His Word and not neglect that. It's so easy in life to get busy doing other things and get wrapped up in routine, mannerisms every day, a routine situation day after day, week after week, year after year, and forget what God commands and not obey it. We ought to be obeying the commands of God. So to do that, we need to learn the commands of God. And that goes back to studying the Word of God, reading it, understanding it, and applying it to our life, desiring the Word of God. The wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, to fear God and keep His commandments. We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey the commandments of God. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." Go back with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will, and let's take one last point of our lesson this morning. And that is that when we read all the fact of verse 11, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness. When you go through the rest of those verses, down through verse 18 of that chapter, we see that we ought to be, in these verses, we ought to be diligent, we need to be steadfast, we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we need to be faithfully obeying God. Look at verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So, these are just some things that's clear in the Scriptures that uses the phrase ought to or ought not to. And throughout the Bible, as we read, we find many things that we should be doing and a lot of things that we should not be doing. Are we doing the things that we ought to be doing in life? You'll have to answer that for yourself, and I'll have to answer it for me. But we'll all have to answer it in the day of judgment to the Lord when we stand there. So hopefully this morning the lesson will encourage us to think about how we are and how God wants us to be and how we ought to be, and work on being the way that God wants us to be. If you're here this morning and you have not been baptized into Christ and you're not a Christian, you're living in sin, why not confess Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized this morning? If you're here this morning and maybe as a child of God, you have not done as you ought to have done. Maybe you've disobeyed God and for some reason or another, and you need to make it right in a public way. If you need the prayers of brethren, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. If you don't need that, you have something amiss in your life, and you ought to be doing something differently that you haven't done, then go to God in prayer. Fix that between you and God and move forward, acting like you ought to act as I go forward, endeavoring to act as I ought to act in the sight of God and before me. The lesson's yours. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.